Brazilian senators debating the political future of President Dilma Rousseff have accused her of breaking fiscal laws, lacking leadership and mismanaging the country's economy. An overwhelming majority of senators has so far expressed support for a full impeachment trial. A vote is expected in the next few hours. Here's our Brazil correspondent, Wira Davis.
Dilma Rousseff says the charges against her, that she illegally manipulated government accounts to hide the scale of the deficit, are a smokescreen to hide the real motivations of her political enemies. To remove at all costs, she says, the leftist Workers' Party government after 14 years in power. But with her government weak and unpopular, and in the middle of an economic crisis, Dilma Rousseff seems almost powerless to stop events. Her opponents need only a simple majority of senators to force an impeachment trial and Ms. Rousseff's automatic suspension.
Police in Venezuela have clashed with opposition demonstrators who were marching on the headquarters of the country's election commission, demanding a referendum to oust President Nicolas Maduro. Riot police used tear gas and blocked roads leading to the building in Caracas. A former presidential candidate, Enrique Capriles, accused the police of throwing tear gas into his eyes. Nigeria's main trade union says it will resist a government move to cut fuel subsidies dramatically, which will result in prices nearly doubling. Nigeria Labour Congress described the plan as unjustifiable and criminal. Ariane Skippers reports.
The Nigerian government announced on Wednesday that the price for a litre of petrol would go up from 86 to 145 naira. That's about three-quarters of a dollar. Fuel subsidies are costing the government billions of dollars per year, while low oil prices on the international markets are hitting its economy. The Nigeria Labour Congress has said it will resist what it calls a cruel measure by every legitimate means. An attempt in 2012 to reduce subsidies led to widespread strikes and riots, forcing the government to withdraw the plan.
Ukrainian border guards are reported to have recovered 17 works of art hidden in plastic bags near the border with Moldova. The paintings, which include works by Tintoretto and Rubens, were stolen from a museum in Italy last year. The Ukrainian President Petro Poroshenko described it as a brilliant operation, which demonstrated the country's fight against art smuggling.
The overall cost of that collection, according to the documents provided by the Border Service and military prosecution, exceeded 16 million euros. We have not only preserved the global value of these paintings, but also reaffirmed Ukraine's prestige by such efficient actions.
The Republican presidential candidate Donald Trump appears to have softened his stance on his controversial proposal for a temporary ban on Muslims entering the U.S. In a television interview, he said it was just a suggestion. The proposed ban has been widely criticized in the US and abroad. World News from the BBC. A new study estimates there are now 56 million abortions taking place around the world every year, a quarter of all pregnancies. The research, published in the Lancet Medical Journal, shows a higher level of abortions than previous data had suggested. Jane Draper reports.
The number of terminations has increased from around 50 million in the early 1990s, driven in part, the authors say, by population growth and also a demand for smaller families. In Western Europe, there's been a slight increase in the abortion rate. This is thought to be due to immigration from Eastern European countries, which have always had high termination rates, and the arrival of women from further afield who might not tend to use family planning services. Overall, abortion rates have remained level in developing countries, but have fallen significantly in richer ones.
Some internet service providers in Uganda say the government has ordered them to shut down access to social media services. It comes as several African heads of state arrive in the country ahead of President Yoweri Museveni's inauguration on Thursday. Social media in Uganda was previously blocked during the elections in February. One of the most familiar and respected voices in international cricket, the West Indian commentator and writer Tony Kozier, has died at his home in Barbados. He was 75. Here's the BBC's cricket correspondent, Jonathan Agnew.
Fielder comes in and takes the catch. Brilliantly taken.
Tony Kozier was one of the finest writers and broadcasters in the game. The son of a journalist, he started reporting on cricket in 1958, and 7 years later, in 1965, he hit the airwaves for the first time. 50 years later, he was still commentating when England toured the West Indies.
The internet giant Google has said it will ban advertisements for companies offering short-term loans at high interest rates. It will no longer allow adverts for loans due within 60 days on its website. It will also ban adverts for loans where the interest rate is 36% or higher. BBC News.